You're watching the meeting of the Dallas City Council with Mayor Eric Johnson, Mayor Pro Tem Chad West, District 1, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Jaime Resendez, District 5, Council Members Jesse Moreno, District 2, Casey Thomas II, District 3, Carolyn King Arnold, District 4, Omar Narvaez, District 6, Adam Basildua, District 7, Tanel Atkins, District 8, Paula Blackman, District 9, Adam McGew, District 10, Janie Schultz, District 11, Kara Mendelson, District 12, Gay Donnell Willis, District 13, Paul Ridley, District 14, and City Manager T.C. Broadnack, City Secretary Billy Ray Johnson, and City Attorney Chris Queso.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We have a quorum. It's Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. The time is 9:16 a.m. And I now call this meeting of the Dallas City Council to order. We're going to start our day with our invocation, followed by our pledges of allegiance. At this time, the chair recognizes Chairman Adam McGew to introduce our Dallas Fire Rescue Chaplain, Elaine Maddox, to provide our invocation.
Well, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Casey Thomas, for allowing me this honor to introduce Ms. Elaine Maddox. She resides in Council District 3 and has lived in Dallas for the past 40 years. She holds a bachelor's degree in elementary education from Dallas Baptist University. She's completed graduate level course at Texas Women's University focusing on gifted and talented education. Ms. Maddox experienced a successful career as a teacher and previously led the gifted and talented program at Reed Junior High. In 2007, Ms. Maddox transitioned to working for the Dallas Fire Rescue Department as a fire inspector. For the past 10 years, she's faithfully served as one of two full-time chaplains for the department, helping to support firefighters and their families. Ms. Maddox is married to her husband, Mr. Steve Maddox, who worked as Dallas firefighter for 37 years and rose to the rank of lieutenant. In addition to supporting Dallas Fire Rescue, the couple and their family started the High Point Baptist Church in 1984. She also generously started the Elaine and Steve Maddox Endowment Scholarship, which aims to allow children of Dallas firefighters who have died in the line of duty to attend Dallas Baptist University at no expense. Ms. Maddox has three daughters and three granddaughters. And on a personal note, she, in every single room I have seen her in, she brings peace and calm and a spiritual awareness. And it's just thank you for all you do for our men and women in the fire department and for this entire city. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here this morning in the city that I love. If we love God the most, we can love others the best. If you'll bow your head, please. We thank you, God, that we have been chosen to be a part of your plan. We know you have called each of us in a unique way to serve the citizens of Dallas and also to serve each other. As we enter the new budget year, we ask that you would use our funds and resources to bless the citizens of Dallas. We know there will be hard and challenging decisions to be made, so we ask for your wisdom and your discernment to make the best choices as we care for the needs of our fellow citizens. We thank you that people, young and old, from all over the state and nation have come to our beautiful city to celebrate the great State Fair of Texas. Help us to show brotherly love and hospitality as we welcome them with open arms. Please protect all our citizens who serve others during this great celebration. We would be remiss if we failed to pray for our Dallas firefighters and citizens who were injured in the apartment explosion last week. Continue to provide your healing hand as they recover mentally, physically, and emotionally. Thank you for the doctors and nurses who attend to their needs today, even as we speak. We are in awe of the way you have impressed upon the hearts of our mayor, our council members, and so many members of our community to step up and come alongside our firefighters and citizens as they look to you for healing. Now, as members of the council convene, we ask that you would be in our midst. I ask that we remember, if we love you the most, we can love others the very, very best. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
At this time, we'll please rise for our pledges. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. You may be seated. And at this time, the chair recognizes our Mayor Pro Tem, Mr. West, for a special presentation.
Thank you, Mayor, so much for giving me the opportunity to do this, and to my fellow council members for taking a picture with us this morning. This morning, we're here to read a special recognition for someone who's very special to the entire city of Dallas, Kevin Sloan. Kevin is a locally and nationally recognized landscape architect. Many of you have heard of him, and I think have met his wife and some of his colleagues. He is the kind of person who's in a city where we need people to think big, and he does think big. Kevin was the driving force behind rewilding the Trinity River and making it into the special the special amenity that it is today. He was the proposer of the DFW branch waters, daylighting all the tributaries that come off of the Trinity and making them into amenities throughout all of DFW for everyone. I mean, we've covered them up with concrete over the years, and just imagine if we could have little mini Turtle Creeks and Coombs Creeks all over our city in all of our districts. That hasn't happened yet, but that's something that we can work on in the future. He was one of the very first people to raise money for or to start marketing Clyde Warren Park. And before there was any money raised, before there was even a conceptual idea, he was behind the marketing efforts. He's also very localized. He's behind a lot of the designs and master plans for our parks throughout the entire city and our trails. There's several individuals here today to see this recognition, and Kevin is not able to be with us, but I understand that he's watching us from his home today. And not the least of which here today is his wife and business partner, Diane. If you could just stand up and say hello, Diane, just wave, it's fine. Hi, glad to have you here with us today. And we are working on and this has been driven by neighbors and by his staff and his family to try to do a park renaming, a portion or all of the park for the 12th Street connector in Oak Cliff, which is taking an old a street that is no longer really used, turning it into a green space for our neighborhoods. And Kevin was a driving force and a visionary behind that. So we're still working through that. It's going to take a while, and we wanted to do something that's going to recognize him now so that he could we ensure that he was able to see that. So without further ado, I'll read this. Whereas the city of Dallas recognizes the importance of preserving and promoting public parks, green space, and the natural environment for the health and well-being of our city, and whereas Kevin Sloan, ASLA, Masters in Architecture, Honorary AIA Dallas, Landscape Architect, College Professor, and longtime resident of Oak Cliff, has been a leader in advocating for the creation of urban parks and reclaiming of natural spaces, and whereas Mr. Sloan has been a vocal advocate for the resurgence, recognition, and protection of Dallas's Blackland Prairie habitat, an indigenous and fragile ecosystem, and whereas Mr. Sloan conceived and popularized the idea of rewilding the Trinity River corridor by encouraging the reestablishment of its original flora and fauna, and whereas Mr. Sloan conceptualized and spoke nationally and internationally about the Dallas-Fort Worth Branch Waters Network, a bold plan to daylight the expansive DFW watershed network and fundamentally reshape the urban environment, and whereas Mr. Sloan envisioned and developed master plans and designs for parks and trails throughout the city of Dallas that celebrate and encourage human engagement with the natural realm, and whereas Mr. Sloan has been a professor of architecture at the University of Texas at Arlington for more than a decade, inspiring generations of North Texas students, and whereas Mr. Sloan has served the citizens of the city of Dallas by acting as a member and chair of the city's Urban Design Peer Review Committee, and now therefore I, Chad West, Mayor Pro Tem District 1, and on behalf of the city of the Dallas City Council do hereby extend special recognition to Kevin W. Sloan for his exceptional community work in the city of Dallas. Thank you.
Chairwoman Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to just add on to this because it's been a privilege to be able to know and work with Kevin and Diane Sloan. I wish that I hope that we use this as an opportunity for all of us to look for the genius that exists currently in our city and look for those people, support those people, and help them grow and thrive. In this case, in addition to all the amazing things that Mayor Pro Tem West just shared, I want to add a couple of other things. Through my connection with Kevin, both through my alma mater, UT Arlington, for graduate school, but also City Lab High School, where Kevin served on the advisory council and really gave tremendous insight into the landscape architecture program. But I just want to take a minute and also talk about Diane, because if every genius had the kind of partner that Kevin has had, it would be amazing to see what would emerge in our city. The unyielding patience, the kindness, and the love that she exhibits for all of us is a tribute, and it's a lesson for us. So I hope that we continue Kevin and Diane's work through the rewilding at all levels, even people's own backyards, which you can ask her about. I hope that continues. And I just want to say thank you very much to Mayor Pro Tem West for bringing this forward, because it's a gift to our city, as have been the Sloans. So thank you, Mayor, for this time.
At this time, we'll hear from our open microphone speakers, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good morning. This morning, you have four individuals who have registered to speak. All speakers will be in person this morning. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. Your time is at the podium. When your time is up, please stop. Also, address your comments to Mayor Johnson only. Your first speaker, Edward Sebesta.
Edward Sebesta, 1502 Seavers. When I first moved here back in the late 1980s, I observed how the then police review board was gutted of any effectiveness through a campaign of panic, an assertion that somehow a Dallas Police Review Board was the cause of a police officer being shot. When the Police Review Board, renamed the Community Oversight, Police Oversight Board, was announced to be restored to effectiveness, I was quite happy to hear it. However, I was informed by some community activists that the board was not what it seemed. So I reviewed the municipal codes for the board and found out that it was true that the board didn't have real substance. The code for the board was amended because it was felt to be deficient. And so I reviewed it again. My review is the handout I am giving to the City Council today. The board exists but lacks substance. It is a facade. Both the public and the police are ill-served by it. Dallas still doesn't have a human rights commission. What Dallas does have is a long history of token actions, halfway measures, and theatrical pretenses in response to the issues of racism in our society. The halfway renaming of Lamar Street to Botham Jean Boulevard is a continuation of this history, being yet again another halfway measure.
Thank you. Devontae Peters.
Hi, Hello, greetings, greetings. Good morning. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the opportunity to speak. My name is Devontae Peters. February, about 5th, 6th, 2020, I had addressed you all, or most of you all. There's some new people here sitting here today. But at that time, I addressed the council about changing Lamar Street to Botham John Boulevard. Today, you know, some of that has taken place. Unfortunately, the community's efforts were usurped by some of the people up here when we could have worked together. I would like to say my voice is a voice that echoes the community and people who support and understand what climate we are in today. I don't know if you guys understand that and the severity of race relations right now, especially in Dallas, Texas. You know, the community people, and I know, like, y'all go from different sides. Y'all have people who care about the issue or who are on different sides of the issue. I understand that. But at the same time, y'all place yourselves in the line of history, things that would be happening or things that would be spoken about before y'all, after y'all's tenure on council. And I just want to, like, you know, suggest to y'all, be like, hey, why don't y'all go against the grain? Why don't y'all do something different instead of following the status quo, doing what's safe and playing it safe? And also usurping efforts from the community and actually working with us, you feel me? You know what I'm saying? Because this could have been a something that we did together. That's something we could have done as a team, as a squad, and I urge you all to really take this serious. I know I look the way I look. I'm one person, but there are thousands of people who signed the petition, who got in the streets with us, who work with us, and who sent mails and letters to Medrano and other people up here. Or who were here. And so it's not just me. It's not just Devontae requesting for the full extension of Botham John. I think it was a slap in the face, a spit in the face to give somebody a portion of a piece of atonement, a piece of respect, half of a street, even when the commission that does with the street change, and they wanted this to happen. They wanted the full street. And, you know, what was it, the CPC, they wanted it. They felt like, it's like, why didn't the people who mentioned this to the council or who made the memo, why didn't y'all, fight for the full street? Were y'all paying politics or were y'all really trying to do something for the community, really trying to stand out and be outliers opposed to just, you know, politicians, you know? I believe that, you know, just running for office, man, myself a couple of times, I believe that, you know, at one point we did this for the community. At one point it wasn't for self-grandizement. And it wasn't to be a politician and just to play politics. I believe at one point y'all ran to serve the people, to serve the community, and not sell out and listen to one side and appease one side that might be more prestigious. So, you know, I just urge y'all, man, to really give Botham Jean and the Jean family respect with getting this full entire street. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you. William Hopkins.
Yeah, my name is William Hopkins. Eric, what they finna hand out? They finna hand out the lawsuit. I left one sheet of paper at the house. I was leaving so fast. I left one sheet of paper. The first sheet of paper. You already have it, Eric. I've been doing this for about 25 years, Eric. I've been coming down here about the people in West Dallas. The city wrote them a letter and let them know that. The city didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't have that letter. You have it, Eric. I filed it 20 years ago with Ron Kirk, Laura Miller, Merle Rollins, and all of them. I filed it with them too. They let the people, the blacks, die in West Dallas. So, you, Eric, you was a state representative. The state of Texas and the city of Dallas, what they finna get y'all right now, sued the RSR smelter and kept the money. Fred Byron, I know Fred Byron personally. He supposedly dead. Supposed to be done died or whatever. Him, Russell Budd, Dorothy Budd, and Lisa Blue. Lisa Blue is Fred Byron's wife. The courts, when this lawsuit was settled, the courts were so bigoted and racist. The city of Dallas and the state of Texas were so bigoted and racist, they told Fred Byron they weren't going to give him none of the money. So Fred begged them to give the kids some of the money. So the courts let the Fred get some of the money from the city of Dallas and the state of Texas to give some of the kids the money in West Dallas that's from this lawsuit from the lead that's people dying in West Dallas. So Fred had John Wiley Price to have the people to come to West Dallas and go to the Boys Club. Don't tell nobody. I have a letter at the house, Eric, from the letter from Fred Byron them, telling the people, don't tell nobody, come to the Boys Club, and they were going to issue out a little few crumbs. John Wiley Price and the ministers, they all sold us out, Eric. You was a state representative. Lori Miller's husband was a state representative. Lori Miller's husband worked for the Fred Byron and Bud law firm that the courts gave a portion of the money to issue out to the kids in West Dallas. It was crooked and corrupt, but they white. The FBI don't come down here and get nothing but blacks. I told the FBI, James Adams of the FBI, Michael Lubes of the FBI, I told them about the same thing. They didn't do nothing. But what they did do was James Saginaw was working with Fred Byron and Bud. And then some kind of way Fred Byron had President Clinton to put James Saginaw as EPA. So we couldn't get the money from the EPA or the city or the state of Texas. You can't say nothing, Eric, because you was a state representative, and you know what happened. Eddie Bernice Johnson, Royce West, they all sold us out. And somebody got this money, Eric. And I've been coming down here 25 years, Eric. I know you can't say nothing because you in with the white people. You should have said something at first, the first day I come down here. So I know you can't say nothing, but you in with the corruption, but the FBI won't check these white people, Fred Byron and Bud. They won't check them, but they'll come get the blacks, Eric.
Marcus Russell.
Grand Rising, how y'all doing this morning? My name is Marcus Iggs. I'm founder and president of Commissaries Very Necessary. Also part of the Botham John Memorial Committee and also over the Itania Jefferson Foundation. We're here today to talk about the divide between the North and the South. I'm a human rights activist and also an environmental activist. And in Dallas, environmental racism and environmental justice are one and the same between the divide in the North and the South. And this plays out on all levels. It even played out with the Botham John renaming of Lamar Street, where they only named South Lamar Botham John and kept the other side Lamar Street. And that's a direct result of how Dallas has played the race game between the North and the South. A lot of times in Dallas, as an environmental activist, I'm gonna say we, because I don't care what race you are, we use racism to destroy the planet as an excuse to build dumps, as an excuse to poison the community by letting corporations into black neighborhoods. You know, the thing is, oh, if it's a black neighborhood, it's okay for us to destroy the earth. So that's, you know, that's really an excuse that we're using black people to destroy the planet. It's okay to destroy the planet where black people live. It's okay to keep racism going. It's okay to keep the divide between the North and the South. It's okay to keep people divided. It's okay to keep the city divided by race, sex, and different things. It's okay to keep people fighting. It's okay to poison people's community. It's okay for police officers to walk in apartments and murder people who are totally innocent. And, you know, and that's going on in Dallas and Fort Worth. And across the city, and that's why we're filing a lawsuit, and we're suing Fort Worth, the police department, and their insurance company. I think we're coming in a time where government officials are going to be held more accountable. And in Dallas, when they come down, they only take the black people to jail. The white people get slaps on their wrists. They get probation. And so I would just like to tell everybody that there is a time coming and a change coming, and everybody should be ready for that change. And it's going to affect everybody sitting at this table. Now, people can stay racist and want to divide each other, but we actually need to come together and make some changes in this community. Before I go, there was an explosion in Highland Hills. We work hard in Highland Hills. Mountain Creek Apartments has a creek going through it. On May 20th, I asked the manager, could CIVN come in and clean it for free? She refused. She said no. I went yesterday. That creek is disgusting. There's little kids. There's playing all in that creek. And I know there needs to be some environmental justice going on the south side of Dallas, Texas. And Lamar Street on the north needs to be changed to Botham Jones. I really appreciate y'all for having me. Y'all stay blessed, and hopefully y'all come together.
Thank you. This concludes your speakers for this meeting, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Let's move on to our voting agenda.
Thank you. Agenda item 1 is approval of minutes of the September 1st, 2021 City Council meeting.
Is there a motion?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Ayes have it. Next item.
Agenda item 2 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning you have individual full council and officer appointment. The individual and full council appointments will be separated from the officer appointments to allow individuals to be appointed to the board first before being made an officer, and also to allow the mayor to abstain on the officer appointments. Nominees for individual appointments to the Animal Advisory Commission, Shelby L. Bobowski is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. Ms. Bobowski meets the general public special qualification. To the Board of Adjustment, Dave Newman is being nominated by Mayor Johnson. To the Community Development Commission, Melanie Lurie Rubin is being nominated by Mayor Johnson. To the Citizen Homelessness Commission, Jennifer Gad Snow is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West. David King is being nominated by Councilmember Atkins. And Tammy Beck Fowler is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. All members meet the general public special qualification. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Jasmine Anderson is being nominated by Councilmember Arnold. To the Community Police Oversight Board, Ozzie Smith is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West. Jonathan E. Maples is being nominated by Councilmember Moreno. And Jose Rivas is being nominated by Councilmember Basil Dua. To the Civil Service Board adjunct members, Cassandra James is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. And Thomas H. Jefferson is being nominated by Councilmember McGew. Both members meet the 5+ years experience in business administration special qualification. To the Dallas Public Facility Corporation, Scott R. Hounsell is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West, and Zarin Gracie is being nominated by Councilmember Thomas. Both members meet the general public special qualification. To the Environmental Commission, Philip Hyatt Hay is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West. Mr. Hay meets the general public with environmental experience special qualification. Esther Villarreal is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Ms. Villarreal meets the environmental advocacy experience special qualification. And Charles Dankert is being nominated by Councilmember Willis. Mr. Dankert meets the public health experience special qualification. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, C. Victor Lander is being nominated by Councilmember Thomas. Katrina B. Johnson is being nominated by Councilmember Atkins. Barbara Clay is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. To the Municipal Library Board, Lisa Jenkins Watson is being nominated by Councilmember Basil Dua. To the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Zandra D. Mendenhall is being nominated by Councilmember Moreno, and Jose De La Cruz is being nominated by Councilmember Schultz. To the Park and Recreation Board, Fania Naomi Mondell is being nominated by Councilmember Moreno. Rob Perrone Stewart is being nominated by Councilmember McGew, and Thomas Lane Connor is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. To the Permit and License Appeal Board, Richard Cuccia is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. Dolores Wolfe is being nominated by Councilmember Ridley. And Benjamin Segnick is being nominated by Mayor Johnson. To the Redistricting Commission, Gregory V. Dumas is being nominated by Councilmember Thomas. And Walter Allen Wong is being nominated by Councilmember McGew. To the Senior Affairs Commission, J. Peter Klein is being nominated by Councilmember Willis. Mr. Klein meets the 55+ years of age special qualification. To the South Dallas Fair Park Opportunity Fund Board, William L. Dawkins is being nominated by Councilmember McGew. Mr. Dawkins meets the Underwriting Experience Special Qualification. To the Veteran Affairs Commission, Douglas Taylor is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West. Diane E. Birdwell is being nominated by Councilmember Basil Dua. Anthony Wood is being nominated by Councilmember McGew. Julius Graw is being nominated by Councilmember Schultz. Peter Gray Smith is being nominated by Councilmember Ridley. All members meet the Served in U.S. Military Special Qualification. To the Youth Commission, Aaliyah Bryant is being nominated by Councilmember Moreno. Nominees for full council appointment. To the Civil Service Board, Terrence S. Welch is being nominated by Councilmember Schultz, and Joan Smotzer is being nominated by Councilmember Ridley. To the Ethics Advisory Commission, Nicholas Rodriguez is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez, Thomas P. Perkins is being nominated by Mayor Johnson, and Cassandra Hernandez is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Resendez. The following nominees are being presented for appointment by City Manager Broadnax. To the Environmental Commission Technical Resource Panel, Alan Hoffman is being nominated. He meets the building special qualification. Michael Martin is being nominated or presented for nomination by the City Manager. He meets the energy special qualification. Raj Daniels is being presented for nomination. He meets the zero waste special qualifications. Micah Pace is being nominated. He meets the ecosystems and green spaces special qualification. Rita Beving is being nominated. She meets the air quality special qualifications. Maria Bocalandro is being nominated. She meets the transportation special qualification. Christian Camacho is being nominated. He meets the urban agriculture special qualification. And David Marquis is being nominated. He meets the water resources special qualification. To the Landmark Commission alternate members, Jeff A. Cummings is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West. Mr. Cummings meets the historic preservation architect special qualification. To the Reinvestment Zone 3 Board, Oak Cliff Gateway, Tom Krampitz is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West. Mr. Krampitz is a Dallas County resident. To the Reinvestment Zone 16 Board, Davis Garden, Gregory Lynn McCormick is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West. He's also a Dallas County resident. To the Reinvestment Zone 17 Board, TOD, Robbie Good is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem West. To the Trinity River West Municipal Management District, Edwin Robinson is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. These are your nominees, Mr. Mayor.
Is there a motion?
Move approval.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing Mendelsohn. None, all in favor say aye.
Wait.
Ms. Mendelsohn, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mayor. In the Government Performance and Financial Management Committee, we've been reviewing the audit of boards and commissions. And one of the items we discussed is the diversity of the boards and commissions. And in your email this morning, you'll see from the city secretary a report that outlines demographics of each of them. For today's nominees, there's 57 names that Billy Ray just read to us. And I'd just like to point out that only 9% of those are Hispanic. And in our, we're charged with nominating commissioners and appointees that reflect the residents of Dallas. So I just wanna make sure that our colleagues all consider that. Specifically though, with today's nominees for the Environmental Commission, there's three that are being appointed by council members, but there's eight being appointed by the city manager, and every one of them are white. We had a speaker this morning just speaking about environmental justice and the intersection with racial justice, and I just feel like we might need to pause and ask the city manager if he would like to go forward with all eight nominees. I don't know any of them. I am not doing this as a personal thing, but it would seem odd to me that we would want an entire technical panel to be consisting of all people who are white.
Okay, we're in the discussion portion now, so I'm going to ask if the city manager is available to respond to that. Is the city manager available, or someone from his office who's in the environmental space? I don't know.
Mayor, this is Joey Sabat, assistant city manager.
Yeah, go ahead, Joey.
I'd like to begin to respond to that, and Sheila Delgado, the interim director of Office of Environmental Quality, is also on the call. So we would like to proceed with this list. This is a list that we have worked carefully with the task force that was created through the Environmental and Sustainability Committee, and also briefed to that committee itself. We recognize the city's goals. This technical panel are actually not members of the voting members of the commission itself. They are meant to be specialists and experts in particular areas that are of interest to CCAP. And so while we recognize the city's goals to have great representation on all of our bodies, we do look at that. This is a more specialized panel, and the recommendations that come forward have been properly vetted. So that is our response. Thank you.
I'm wondering if there might be a response from Liz Cedillo.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Ms. Mendelson, your volume is very low. Could you repeat that?
Yes, I'm wondering if our Office of Equity and Inclusion might have a response to that.
Okay. Is there anyone from the Office of Equity and Inclusion who would like to respond to Councilwoman Mendelson's comments about the environmental commission appointees or nominees?
Morning. Good morning, Mayor and Chair Mendelson. This is Liz Cedillo Pereira. Would you repeat your question, please?
Well, I'm really just pointing out to you that there are 8 people that are being considered for appointment to the environmental technical panel, and all 8 of them are white. We have 17 funded positions in your Office of Equity, and I'm wondering if there's been anything, you know, we often talk about the equity lens at the City of Dallas. We do procurement now with an equity lens. We're doing everything with an equity lens. And I'm just wondering if you feel that it's appropriate that there's no diversity whatsoever on this technical panel.
I appreciate your comment, and I appreciate the observation. And I will defer to ACM Joey Zapata and at this moment, but I would like to understand better. I know that the technical panel is a panel that is aside from or in addition to the voting members. So that is something that we need to be looking at and addressing, the diversity and inclusive nature of all our city panels.
Okay. Well, I would like to ask the city secretary to send you the report that was sent out this morning that has these demographics for all the boards and commissions. For your department to review as well. Thank you. That's all my questions.
Mayor?
I'm sorry. Who is that?
Narvaez.
Okay, I'm gonna get to you right after I get to Mayor Pro Tem West and Chairwoman Blackman. Sorry. So,
thank you,
Mayor Pro Tem. Go ahead. 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. And I just agree with the concerns, but I wanted to speak about the Public Facilities Corporation as of today. Thank you to my colleagues who have appointed someone for the Public Facilities Corporation. This important affordable housing tool that we have been sitting on since June of last year is finally got 8 members on the Public Facilities Corporation, assuming this passes, and we'll be able to start meeting. That's assuming they all show up. So I would encourage, I'm not calling out anybody in particular because I don't know who hasn't appointed yet, but if you haven't appointed someone to the Public Facilities Corporation, please do it. This is an affordable housing tool we're just sitting on because we have not appointed our members. So that's all I got to say on that. Thank you.
Chairwoman Blackmon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Ms. Mendelson, I do hear your concerns, but the slate, and I've served on this commission or on the Committee for Environmental and Sustainability for 2 years, for this is my second term. And it was created with the task force putting specific qualifiers on board appointments. And it's not, they're not voting, they're resources. And I understand the diversity question, and I understand that we need to reflect that, but I think it's up to this body to put their appointments. And I do think it's up to the city manager to make sure that there's the best resource allocation of individuals serving on that commission to help guide us as we move forward. You know, with that being said, everything needs to look with an equity lens, and that includes us here sitting and making sure that we appoint people as well as the city manager. But it's a delicate balance of individuals that are serving in that capacity to help guide the CCAP. And so I know Chairman Narvaez probably has a little bit more insight as because we were all working on this. But I'm going to stand with what Mr. City Manager has put forward because those are good resource individuals who want to volunteer their time and actually be a part of the process instead of just having their name on the marquee. So with that, Mr. Mayor, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on, for, or against the...
Ma'am.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Mr. Narvaez, I do have that written down. Sorry. Go ahead. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate Chairwoman Mendelson bringing up what she brought up. I can tell you that I look at these lists every single week when they come out on Fridays, and I do take notice of
We see you, but we don't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Thank you. I'll get closer. What I was saying is I appreciate what Ms. Mendelson, the chairwoman, brought up. And I can tell you that I look at these lists every single Friday, and I'm always looking at all the different factors. And, Mayor, I know you were just recently.
We lost you again.
Can you hear me?
We can now.
Okay. I was saying that, Mr. Mayor, you were just applauded for having the most diverse of nominees of any mayoral appointments in Dallas. And so I applaud you for that. I can tell you that in District 6, that the vast majority of my appointees are people of color and women of color at that. When it comes to the non-voting members on the environment.
We lost you again.
List. Indian American, Maria Bocalandro is Latina, and Christian Camacho is Latino. One of the big issues that happens when I'm nominating is that some of my nominees that are persons of color, we discover all of a sudden that it says they're white. And there's an issue, and I brought it up to the city secretary's office before, that there's an issue that sometimes when people are applying during in GeoGov, that they cannot switch from being white, and so then they just skip over it in order to get their application in. So it's very possible, colleagues, that if you'll go back and when you see these lists come out, it's very possible that some of your folks just ended up skipping it because it was too difficult to try to get their racial demographic in, or there was a glitch in the system. And so if you go back and you can get that fixed and changed. So I highly recommend everybody do that. But the city manager does have 3 of his 8 that I know identify as persons of color. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on for or against the slate of nominees? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? The ayes aye. Have it. Madam Secretary, go ahead.
Thank you. Your officer appointments. Benjamin Setnick is being nominated chair of the Permit and License Appeal Board by Mayor Johnson. Melanie Rubin is being nominated chair of the Community Development Commission by Mayor Johnson. Dave Newman is being nominated chair of the Board of Adjustment by Mayor Johnson. And Jesorobo Inabakahare is being nominated chair of the Community Police Oversight Board by Mayor Johnson. And Brent Rubin is being nominated vice chair of the City Plan Commission by Mayor Pro Tem West and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Resendez.
Is there a motion? It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Ayes have it. And please note that I did not vote.
It's noted, Mr. Mayor. Your next item is agenda item 3, is casting of lots to identify the recommended vendor resulting from tie bids between Daco Fire Equipment and Metro Fire Apparatus Specialist, Inc. on Group 2, Line 17, in response to bid BD21-0001557 for a 3-year master agreement for the purchase of firefighting foam and fire hoses. This item requires no action besides the Mayor Johnson selecting the winner, the winning vendor from the tie bid. Mayor, you will select one envelope and announce the vendor.
All right. This is so tech forward the way we do this. I love it. It's very, very Metro Fire Apparatus Specialists Incorporated, Group 2, Line 17. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I stated earlier, this item requires no action. There will be a future item later. Mr. Mayor, this concludes your action items for this meeting. Your briefing continues.
Wonderful. Well, now on to our briefings, and I'll turn it over to our esteemed city manager, Mr. T.C. Broadnax.
Thank you, Mayor, and good
Take
morning.
Take it away, Mr. T.C. Broadnax.
Thank you, Mayor, and members of the council. Today we have this one briefing item, and Carrie Rogers, the director of the Mayor and City Council office, is here to present the 2022 city calendar. Carrie?
Thank you, Mr. Broadnax. Good morning, Mayor Johnson and members of the City Council. I'm going to share my screen here. All right, can everyone see this? Okay, good. Good morning again. For the record, I am Carrie Rogers, and I am pleased to serve as your director of the Mayor and City Council office. Today, we're going to go over the proposed 2022 City Council calendar. What I'm going to do is go through a series of slides, and then if time permits, and if so allowed by the mayor, I want to pull up the calendar itself and highlight a couple of specific changes that were recommended out of the Government Performance and Financial Management Committee. We're going to go over key dates related to our City Council meetings, the committee meetings, as well as the budget development schedule, and then our holiday schedule, city holidays, that includes 3 additional holidays. As you all know, the regular meetings of the City Council are scheduled each Wednesday except for 5th Wednesdays. First and 3rd Wednesdays are our briefing meetings. Historically, as you all know, we have met in 6 East South. However, during our emergency regulations and during this current pandemic that is ongoing, we have been meeting in council chambers. The 2nd and 4th Wednesdays, again, historically we met there in chambers where you are now. You'll recall that in 2019 that there was a change to our resolution regarding the calendar that altered our first voting agenda meeting each month to 3 p.m. With all other meetings beginning at 9 a.m. During emergency regulations last year, the council voted to make all of those 3 p.m. meetings 9 a.m. So we'll revisit that in just a little bit. And again, 5th Wednesdays, no meetings. We do plan to continue during the 2022 calendar routine online streaming available to the public as well as virtual access for meeting participants, similar to what we do now. What you'll see here are a few exceptions to what is our routine schedule for the City Council calendar. And we discussed this first item here Wednesday, February 16th, which would normally be a city council briefing. And we've replaced this with our council strategic planning session. We did talk about this during the GPFM committee a couple of weeks ago. And so we chose to leave that, the committee chose to leave that as a council planning session. We noted spring recess, which includes the ISD spring breaks in March. We have our routine July recess. And I do want to point out to the listening public, July recess simply means no council or committee meetings. It does not mean that your council member is not working because they are always working. And then in Wednesday, October 5th, we have the Texas Municipal League Conference. November, we have NLC, the National League of Cities Conference. And then our routine holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. What we have done in the past, and I've called it the Kleinman Clause, is that we have compressed the schedule in both November and December so that at the end of November and December, the council would have a full 2 weeks off. So there would not be council meetings or committee meetings those last 2 weeks of both November and December. To our committee meetings, we've kept the same schedule. So this is based on the information that we know today, assuming committees don't change. We've kept the same schedule that we currently have now for our first, second, third, and fourth Mondays. And again, fifth Mondays, no committee meetings scheduled unless there would be an odd holiday such as Labor Day where those meetings would move to the following Tuesday. Campaign finance reports. This is information from our city secretary's office. So please send hard questions to Ms. Johnson. She did note to us that the routine January 15th deadline of the campaign finance reports falls on a weekend. And so that deadline was extended to January 18th. This is our budget development schedule. And I believe that Ms. Raich or Mr. Ireland are on the call and can answer the difficult questions related here. What I do want to point out is during the Government Performance and Financial Management Committee, we did get feedback from the council members about trying to bring up the public discussion about the budget development schedule earlier in the year. And so you'll see that noted here that there was a recommendation to add budget town hall listening sessions that last week in March. It's a fifth Wednesday, so there aren't, I believe there's committee meetings that week, but there are not, there's not a council meeting that particular Wednesday. These are our city holidays, and what you will note is we have added, per the recent adoption of the 2021-2022 budget, the addition of the Juneteenth. Juneteenth next year falls on a Sunday, and so therefore the observance would be on Monday, June 20th. Indigenous Peoples Day is Monday, October 10th, and so that's always the second Monday of October. And then Veterans Day, which falls on a Friday, and that is always November 11th. This is the feedback that I wanted to circle back with from the committee. And of course, I invite Chairwoman Mendelson or any member of the committee to jump in here and correct me. But here's what we heard from the committee. One was a recommendation to move the 3 p.m. meetings to 9 a.m. This would require, we did get with the city attorney's office per that discussion to GPFM, this would require a reconsideration of the March 2020 vote to suspend the rules declared during the state of local disaster. This could be accomplished with a resolution changing the meeting time and the city council rules of procedure. Both of these actions would require proper notice and compliance with the Texas Open Meetings Act.
Karen.
And then, oh, yes.
Can you make the screen full screen?
Oh, yes, I can. How's that?
Thank you, Karen. You can proceed.
Is that good? I'm sorry. I didn't realize I didn't have it on the proper screen. Forgive me. So again, what we're talking about is moving the 3 p.m. meetings. We discussed, the committee recommended to retain that council planning session on February 16th, to add the budget town hall planning sessions the last week, or excuse me, listening sessions the last week of March 2022. And then also, there was a request to look at moving up the consideration time for zoning. And so currently the way the agendas are set is zoning items are determined a set time at 1 p.m. And there was a request to look at, could in the event that the voting agenda was extraordinarily efficient one particular morning, could they move the zoning items up to sooner than 1 p.m.? And so the city attorney's office, as they looked at the 3 p.m. change, also looked at this zoning item change. And I invite, of course, the city attorney to come in here and correct me. But I believe the response back was that, yes, those changes could be made. They would require action by the council. With that, so today is our briefing, and our next scheduled action would be the full council would come back, the full calendar would come back to the council on October 27th for consideration and action. So with that, I'm pleased to take any questions or, of course, corrections.
All right, members, questions. Chairman Basildua, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Carrie, for the presentation. One thing that was discussed in committee that I said I would bring up here, it was brought to attention to staff by a colleague who's not on GPFM. So I do want to thank Chairman Narvaez for bringing it to staff's attention that we currently observe Labor Day / Cesar Chavez Day when Cesar Chavez has a federally recognized holiday on March 31st. I want to just read some words that were said by President Barack Obama actually in 2008 when he was still a senator. Chavez left a legacy as an educator, environmentalist, and a civil rights leader, and his cause lives on. As farm workers and laborers across America continue to struggle for fair treatment and fair wages, we find strength in what Cesar Chavez accomplished so many years ago, and we should honor him for what he's taught us about making America a stronger, more just, and more prosperous nation. 6 years later, as president, President Obama proclaimed Cesar Chavez as a federal holiday and continued the support by saying that Cesar Chavez's legacy provides lessons from which all Americans can learn. Labor Day is something that started in the 19th century when people that Cesar Chavez fought for didn't even have rights. Labor Day is something that is federally recognized and it has a lot of meanings and ends the summer season and allows for a break for laborers in America to have a break. Celebrating Cesar Chavez Day and observing it every day, every year on his birthday, which is March 31st, like done at a national level, is something that I believe our city could easily adopt to be as inclusive as we tout we are. I would like for this to be brought up whenever we make the vote on it next week, and I just wanted to express to my colleagues how much I hope to gain the support that we can add that to the calendar as well, that with no cost consideration to the city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Willis. Mendelson. Who's that?
Mendelson, I'd like to be recognized at some point.
Okay, I'm gonna recognize you after Ms. Willis.
Thank you, Mayor. Adding on to what was just discussed by Chairman Basildua with regard to inclusiveness, and then one of our speakers today, Marcus Russell, mentioned about all the ways that we've, for so many years, said it's okay to divide our community. And one of the things he said was, it's okay to divide by sex. And so I'd like to introduce a thought about a co-founder of the Farm Workers Association, and that is Dolores Huerta. And in 1962, Cesar Chavez, founded the National Farm Workers Association with Dolores Huerta. Despite ethnic and gender bias, Huerta helped organize the 1965 Delano strike of 5,000 grape workers and was the lead negotiator in workers' contracts that followed. Throughout her work with the UFW, Huerta organized workers, negotiated contracts, advocated for safer working conditions, including the elimination of harmful pesticides. She also fought for unemployment and health care benefits for agricultural workers. In 1973, she led another consumer boycott of grapes that resulted in the groundbreaking California Agricultural Labor Relations Act of 1975, which allowed farm workers to form unions and bargain for better wages and conditions. During the 1990s and 2000s, she worked to elect more Latinos and more women to political office and has championed women's issues. She's received the Eleanor Roosevelt Human Rights Award and the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2012. While I understand the desire to acknowledge Cesar Chavez's birthday in March to recognize this work, I feel like right now, until Dolores Huerta can stand right there along beside him and be recognized for her work, that this holiday in Dallas, Texas should stay on Labor Day so that it is more encompassing of her accomplishments. Thank you.
Ms. Mendelson, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you. Want to say I appreciate Councilmember Willis's comments about the gender equity aspect of these holidays. I also want to make sure that there's clarity about what is actually a federal holiday, because Cesar Chavez is not a recognized federal holiday. What it is it is a holiday that is recognized by presidential proclamation. So along with that, and actually here, I'm going to give you the it's a proposed federal holiday, along with Susan B. Anthony, which is a proposed federal holiday, along with Malcolm X Day, a proposed federal holiday, along with Rosa Parks Day, a proposed federal holiday. Each of these were introduced with House bills and House resolutions, and I have the citations if anyone would like them. And so if we're going to adopt Cesar Chavez Day, I would suggest that we also look at adopting Susan B. Anthony Day and Rosa Parks Day and Malcolm X Day. If we're looking at presidential proclamation days, then I'd like to point out that we also have March 10th for Harriet Tubman Day. We have Missing Children's Day on May 25th, Women's Equity Day, not recognized on our calendar, although we often talk about it, on August 26th. We have National POW MIA Recognition Day, September 17th, Constitution Day and Citizenship Day, December 1st, World AIDS Day, and December 3rd, International Day of Persons with Disabilities. So there's many holidays that I think are extremely worthy for us to consider as important in our lives and in Dallas. But I think the conversation needs to be had if we'd like to include all days that we consider important by presidential proclamation, all days we consider important that are proposed federal holidays, or if we would like to just simply recognize all federal holidays. There's also a state holiday consideration. I have not looked at those, but I feel like if we are only talking about Cesar Chavez, we are missing the larger picture of the people who've contributed to our society. Thank you.
Ms. Arnold. Mr.
Mayor.
Who is that?
Narvaez. I'm after Ms. Arnold or whenever I'm on the list.
Mr. Narvaez, I'm going to get you after Ms. Arnold and Ms. Schultz. Ms. Arnold, go ahead.
Thank you. My comments are directed to the calendar as it related to the zoning. I needed Mrs. I would like for Ms. Carey to give that statement again about the conditions that exist if we're able to shorten, if we have a short business, then we're able to enter into discussion of zoning. Would you review that again for me so I can understand what you're saying?
Yes, Councilmember Arnold. What the committee had discussed was moving up the consideration time of zoning. So currently, the rules say that zoning cannot be taken up before 1 p.m. And so what the committee had discussed was changing the rules of procedure that would say zoning could be taken up at 1 p.m. or upon conclusion of the voting agenda that morning. And I do want to ask if Mr. Queso or a member of his team want to come in and correct me or add on here to that particular discussion. I believe it was Bert who was with us on committee.
Mayor, I'm going to ask Bert Vandenberg in my office to address this question.
Mayor, in response to the Upper Vandenberg City Attorney's Office, in response to the council member's question, the zoning items could be moved up. You guys moved them from 1 to 6 p.m. at one point. And the only caveat being that when you guys make the change, you'll probably want to delay the effective date on it because the notice for zoning, by the time you guys make the change, the notices will already have gone out for that first round of zoning items. But you could make the change that was discussed at GPFM.
All right. And that would be my primary concern, the notification aspect of it, because we already get dinged by individuals who sit here all day long, and then, you know, they sit and sit and sit, and then they're concerned that they're not being treated fairly. So that would be my concern. And from a legal standpoint, I want to make sure we look at it so that we're able to develop a procedure where all zoning applicants are able to be notified in such time so that they're able to come in and put in their testimony. And that would be my concern if we just decided we're finished at 9 o'clock, I mean at 10:30, and then all of a sudden, okay, well, let's take up the agenda at 11 o'clock for zoning. And then you have those applicants who are saying, well, I couldn't get there. I thought it was going to be such and such. I didn't look at the agenda. So those are just my comments as we move forward, is that we make sure we are addressing the legal aspect and notification so that we can able to those individuals to have their opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Chairman Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I brought up Cesar Chavez Day to staff over the last couple of years because I didn't understand why Cesar Chavez Day was to be celebrated by the city of Dallas with Labor Day. And all I can figure out was that it was just a lazy way for the city to be able to make it a paid holiday by lumping it with Labor Day. And what ends up happening is that the city isn't really recognizing Cesar Chavez Day. And all the things we do on Labor Day, it's all about Happy Labor Day, Happy Labor Day, Happy Labor Day, with no mention of Cesar Chavez Day. So it was something that I had spoken to the city manager and a few other folks about potential changes. I appreciate Chairman Basil Dua for bringing it forward since he is on the GPFM committee. I also want to thank Councilmember Willis, and I completely agree. I would love to call it Cesar Chavez Dolores Huerta Day or Dolores Huerta Cesar Chavez Day, where we can celebrate both, because both are icons, not just within the Hispanic community, but for everybody across the entire United States. The work that they have done, we already are recognizing part of that here in the city of Dallas. I can appreciate all the other holidays that were listed, but the city of Dallas already recognizes Cesar Chavez Day. We're just doing it on the wrong day, and we're doing it the lazy way. And so that's why I brought it up, and we need to fix this and get it right. All the other ones, let's look at them. Let's work on it. Absolutely. I have zero issue. But right now, we have this holiday on the books. We just need to get it on the right day. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Chairman Thomas, you're recognized for 5 minutes. Chairman
Thomas.
Thank
you, Mr. Yeah.
Go ahead. We can hear you.
Can you hear me? Yeah. And let me see. My camera, it says my video is disabled for some reason or another. So do I need to wait?
He has to be on.
Yeah.
He's absent then, too.
So. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. We'll go to Chairwoman Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes. I'm also speaking with on the issue that Ms. Arnold spoke about. The Councilmember Arnold spoke about. I'm very concerned about having the time for the zoning change meeting to meeting. I don't think it's a way to build community input. I don't think it's a way to include citizens when they don't know week to week whether or not they're going to be able to, you know, what time the meeting's going to start. Too many people are getting off work. It's already hard enough for them to be able to participate because, as Ms. Arnold said, the time fluctuates for you know, how long the meeting takes by the time their case is heard. And so to add another variable as to when the meeting starts, where they may miss it entirely, I don't think is necessarily good practice. So I'm not supportive of that issue, and I'd actually like us to look for other ways to increase the amount of citizen involvement and not have to wait. You know, have maybe the new leadership professionally can look and see whether or not there's opportunities on cases when there's a lot of public speakers to know that that's going to be first or really help that. Thank you.
Ms. Blackman, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question for the city manager. So I need some clarification because I think what was shown on the list are the official paid holidays for city employees. And if we added a Cesar Chavez Day on March 31st, does it fall into that pool of holidays where it is a benefit, a holiday, or is it just an observance with limited staff? Because I looked it up, and there's various ways that one can honor this and commemorate it. And so did you have something in mind of how to observe this?
Thank you, Councilwoman. So the answer to your first question is it would not at this point be qualified. I don't think that's the intent as a city paid holiday to be off on that day. So there would be no cost consequence. I think to Councilmember Bazeldua and I believe Councilmember Narvaez's points of emphasis is really to just recognize and commemorate it on that particular date, which happens to be Cesar Chavez's birthday. And so it would not be anything formal, but it would be a notation that, one, we would obviously share with staff and probably organize some events in concert with city council members and others in the community to recognize and call it out during that day.
Okay, so it'd be a commemorative observative, and would the person and would there be an opportunity to add the female component to this? Because I do agree with Ms. Willis that anybody who was involved in this effort should be recognized, not just an individual who has had a proclamation from the president. Okay. Okay, that's it, Mr. Mayor. My question's been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Thomas, are you ready or no? No. Okay. Then I'm going to go to Mr. Bazeldua for a second round. You're recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you to all of the good comments that have added to this discussion. Thank you particularly to Councilmember Willis for your contribution for Ms. Huerta. And I would absolutely love to see just as mentioned by Chairman Arias, for the Chavez and Huerta to be observed by our city, and I believe we have that capability. And, you know, there was comments made about other presidential proclaimed holidays, and I just want to make sure that we're clear that this none of those were being proposed on our calendar in, as a joint day like this one is, which is one distinct difference. Another distinct difference is that the state of Texas has actually proclaimed an optional holiday as well with Cesar Chavez Day, and none of the mentioned other holidays to compare it to have had near as much significance at the state level even. And there is the first states to adopt it was Texas and California, where there was a lot of personal ties to the work that was done by Cesar Chavez specifically. So I want to make sure that there is clear, distinct differences, and we don't dilute the conversation with stuff that is not relevant to what it is that I'm trying to accomplish here. So thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Willis, you're recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. First, I wanted to speak to the zoning suggestion, and I agree to that we should keep it at 1 p.m. just so we don't keep our citizens in flux. But I also wanted to address the budget town halls, the earlier session that we are proposing for the last week in March. This won't conflict with any committee meetings. And the thought was that we've had new items in our budget as well as improvements in certain categories where we've staffed up, and that it would be wise to gauge our input from our citizens a little bit sooner in the process. When we tend to have our budget town halls in August, we are delivering a budget that we kind of tweak versus putting some of that thinking in earlier and hearing from our citizens a little bit earlier in the process so we can incorporate that a little more organically. And so that is the thinking between having these kind of mini town halls happening in the last week of March. It doesn't even necessarily have to use staff. It's mostly about council members organizing similar meetings to just really listen and get the input from the citizens. So that's the thinking behind that new addition.
Okay. At this point, I think we're... Is there anyone else? Is there any questions on the item A? Unfortunately, I think we ran out of time on... Oh, is he? All right, Mr. Thomas. Are you there? All right, give us just a minute, because I think you're literally the only thing standing between us and executive session, so we're going to try to get you connected. We're not going to recess. We're just going to stand at ease for a couple of minutes. We're standing at ease, okay? That's a thing. I don't know. It is. It really is. We're just going to stand at ease. We're just going to stand at ease for a couple of minutes. Can you explain to us what that means? Our mayor pro tem and our deputy mayor pro tem are both veterans. So explain to us what standing at ease means.
It just means you sit back and chill for a little bit.
All right, we're going to sit back and chill for a little bit.
Mr. Mayor, can we sing the Texas Fight song while we're waiting?
That motion is denied. all right, so we are going to go into executive session then, since Mr. Thomas's points have been made, and I just need to read this statutory language. It's 10:33. Oh. Okay, well... Before we do that, then, hold on a second. Let's figure out what's going on here. Someone just rolled on me with a cake here. Hold on a second. I can't sing at all, and I think it would probably be wrong for me to sing to myself too. So I'm gonna. Anybody want to lead the singing here? If there's gonna be singing, I don't know. This is awkward.
Everybody ready? Who are we singing? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mayor. Happy birthday to you.
All right, it's okay. It's all right. I got to read this language and we can go into executive session. We can sort it out in there. It's 10:34 a.m. on October 5th, 2021. The City Council meeting will now go into closed session under sections 551.074, 551.076, and 551.089 of the Texas Open Meetings Act on the following matters described on today's agenda: consideration of appointments to boards and commissions, Mark Wooten, Environmental Commission, and deliberation regarding the deployment or specific occasions for implementation of security personnel, critical infrastructure, or security devices. And we will reconvene, hopefully, let's call it 11 o'clock a.m. All right. City Council meeting has completed its closed session under sections 551.074, 551.076, and 551.089 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. And at 11:38 a.m. on October 5th, 2021, we've returned to open session. And the time is still 11:38 a.m. And now this regular meeting, briefing meeting of the City Council is adjourned. Thank you.